Well, the holiday season has officially begun, and we're heading full steam ahead to the Christmas celebration. My heart has been burdened over the last few weeks concerning that celebration. Let me say up front, first of all, that I have no problems with using the term happy holidays and greeting one another, because it is not only the Christmas holiday that we're celebrating. We celebrate New Year's, and if anyone else wants to put anything else in there, they can. That's fine with me. So I have no problems doing that, except when you say that to exclude saying Merry Christmas to somebody. But my problem is not so much that as it is how we as Christians celebrate the Christmas holiday. Tonight I want us to consider what our celebration consists of and why we celebrate, and ask the question, are we really celebrating Christmas? And maybe give along the way some pointers or some biblical criteria for determining what a proper celebration of the holiday really is. Before we get into that criteria, let's consider what it is that we actually do, what's typical of most people in our society today. And the first thing that I have here on my list of typical holiday celebrations is decorations. My youngest son, Andrew, gets his decorating genes from his father, not his mother. On the 1st of December, he will go to the closet in his apartment, pull out his one-foot-high Christmas tree, put it on the table in his living room, and it will remain there until January 1st, at which time he picks it up and puts it back into the closet. That is the extent of his Christmas decorations. And like I said, he gets that from his father. His mother, on the other hand, has quite the opposite of Christmas decoration ideas. I can summarize it this way. This past week, as Carol began decorating, I did not feel the need for all the days to be getting on the treadmill to do my exercises, because I knew I would be on the Stairmaster, running up to the attic and bringing this box down, running down to the basement, bringing this box up, and then, of course, as she packs away all the other decorations that are around the house, they required going up to the attic or down to the basement or wherever it was that she was going to store, and I knew I'd get my exercise that way. We joke that each year as Christmas rolls around, one of the songs that I need to constantly be playing is "We Need a Little Christmas." Not a lot of Christmas. But I got to tell you, seriously, in the decorations, the house does become a beautiful place to see. And then there's the decorating of the tree. My job in getting the tree together, we have an artificial tree because of her allergies. My job with the tree is I put it together, I put the lights on it and say, see ya. And that's what I'm good at. Second thing, there's the addressing and sending of Christmas cards. And we get out our lists, and unfortunately sometimes it's, well, we didn't get a card from them last year, so they're not getting one this year. Use that methodology of who we send to and who we don't send to. And we get all that done. And in our house, that's kind of a joint thing for the most part. Kind of. Now, wait a minute. For the church cards, that's mostly she helps with the envelopes of the thing. But, or not the envelopes, the inside address. But the cards that we send to family and friends and stuff, she pretty well takes care of herself. Of course, then there's the buying of gifts. And if you're going to be buying clothing, we've got to get the right size for the grandkids and that type of thing. And this one wants this and this one wants that. And are we going to buy from eBay or Amazon.com and do it so that we get free shipping because we don't want to send the stuff out ourselves? And
and all the different things that go along with that. Then there are the holiday festivities of parties and banquets and food. Probably the best part. There's the making of cookies and all those different things that usually go around the Christmas time. There is the fruitcakes that last from year to year to year to year to year and usually get used as doorstops during the summer. But all the parties and banquets that you go to, office parties, that type of thing, and even as we have here just the other week, this past week, the annual Christmas banquet at Hoss's. And all these things are good. No problems there. And believe it or not, there is one thing that in and of itself is not necessarily wrong, but it is probably the most prominent feature in our celebration, not necessarily our celebration, but the world celebration of Christmas, that I think should have no parts in it, and I'll get to it later, and that would be Santa Claus. May I say to you tonight that you can go through all these different things, the decorating, the trimming of the trees, the buying of the wrapping of the presents, the sending of the greeting cards, the parties, the baking, the cooking, the eating, and even throw in a little football, and never celebrate Christmas. And you can do none of these things and celebrate perfectly. Tonight, what I would like to do is to give you a philosophy how to celebrate, really celebrate Christmas. Four questions or things that you need to determine in your celebration of Christmas that I think really determines whether you really do it or not. Number one, you need to determine whether there is a real need, necessity, or even a permission from God to celebrate the holiday. If you would go on the Jehovah's Witnesses website or read their information, the Jehovah's Witnesses say that it is pure idolatry to worship or to recognize Christmas and celebrate it at all. I went on their website. They give four specific reasons. Now, I want to take a look at them for just a moment or two tonight, cause you to think about these things. Number one, they say that you should not celebrate Christmas because there is no command in Scripture to commemorate the birth of Christ, only a command to commemorate His death, as we partook of the communion table this morning. That was a command. This do, as often as you do this, in remembrance of me. That's a command. We are commanded to remember His death, but nowhere do we find a command to remember His birth. And they are absolutely correct that it's not commanded. So what's the problem with that? May I say to you, everything that we do is not commanded in Scripture. For example, nowhere in Scripture does it say, "Thou shalt brush thy teeth." Aren't you glad most people do? Because there's no command, then are you sinning if you take good dental care of yourself? I don't think so. Obviously, everything in Scripture cannot be specifically commanded. On the opposite end, there is no prohibition of celebrating Christmas. So if you use the same logic for command two, you also have to use the same logic of command not to, and you're left kind of in the middle on that one. That one washes out. Second thing, they said the apostles never celebrated the birth of Christ. And certainly if it would have been right for them to do, they would have celebrated. Well, that may or may not be true. Also, the apostles, it doesn't look as far as the book of Acts is concerned, celebrated the birth of Christ. Jehovah's Witnesses say that there's only one birthday celebration in Scripture, and that's by a pagan king. And they say, therefore, any birthday celebration is paganism. Well, I got news for you. The apostles did not meet in kingdom halls either. So do when the Jehovah's Witnesses meet in kingdom halls, which the apostles didn't do, are they practicing paganism? I mean, the logic works both ways there. There are things that the apostles didn't do that we do today, and some of it partly is technology. The apostles never used PowerPoint. They never recorded their services, their worship services. They never used the internet to broadcast over the world, I mean, the message to the world. There are a lot of things that we do today that the apostles didn't do. That doesn't necessarily mean they're wrong. Thirdly, the Jehovah's Witnesses say that there is no proof that December 25th is the actual day of the birth of Christ, which is true. There is no absolute proof that December 25th is the actual day of his birth. Neither is there any definitive proof that it's not. The thing is, we don't worship the 25th of December. We worship the person who was born, possibly on the 25th of December. But here's another thing. We are commanded to observe Easter and the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ, and we don't know what day that was either, other than it was a Sunday. Now, every year, we all have birthdays. And this year, my birthday was on Tuesday. Yes, it was on a Tuesday. Next year, it's not going to be on a Tuesday. It'll be the same date of the month every year, but it's not on the same day of the week every year. Easter is on the same day of the week every year, but it's not even in the same month every year. Does it matter what day it is? I don't think so. What we're celebrating is not the day of the year. What we're celebrating is what happened. And there's no prohibition against that. Then finally, they say that the celebration of Christmas is rooted in pagan customs. And to a certain extent, there some of these things do have origins in pagan customs. But just because something has been used or misused does not necessarily mean that it has no legitimate use. For example, we send our messages out over the internet and they literally go around the world. Well, guess what else is on the internet? A lot of horrible stuff. Well, does that make the internet evil or pagan in and of itself and unfit for Christian things? No, I don't think so. We, as well as the Jehovah's Witnesses, sing hymns of praise. But I got news for you. There's all kinds of music that will never come from my lips because it's downright ungodly. Does that mean because there's ungodly music, we don't use good music? Just because something is misused doesn't mean it can't be used at all. So their arguments against celebrating Christmas simply don't hold any water. Here's what does hold water. If you will, turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, and then I'm going to slip on over to a corollary passage in Colossians chapter 2. Romans 14 and verse 6. Now let me back up a couple of verses. Verse 4. Who art thou that judges another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteems one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, and for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no man dies to himself. In other words, Paul is saying here, there are some days that people regard as special, and some days, the same day, another Christian says, well, it's just like any other day, a special holiday. And if you are doing that out of a conscience that's true to God, Paul was saying that's between you and God. Don't let anyone tell you you must worship or celebrate Christmas on the 25th or not on the 25th. That's between you and God. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 basically says the same thing. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day. The question is, do you believe that you are honoring God in your celebration? That's the real issue. Is this something that you believe God would have you to do, and therefore you are doing it as a service of worship to Him? And if you can say, you know what, this doesn't worship Him in my mind at all, then don't do it. That's fine. But don't be going around judging others whether they do or don't. That's something that you need to decide between you and the Lord alone. Secondly, you need to determine the purpose of the celebration. If you are going to celebrate Christmas, why are you going to celebrate Christmas? What is the purpose of this holiday? Well, it's a commemoration of the birth of Christ. Isn't it? Isn't that all that it is? My concern is that over the course of time, we have corrupted the celebration of Christmas. And specifically, the most prominent thing now is the idea of Santa Claus. Luke chapter 9, verse 62, the Lord Jesus Christ, and you needn't turn, I'm just going to refer to it, said, any man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is not a worthy servant of the kingdom of God. What's the thing? Well, you're doing something out in the field. You've got the animals hooked up to the plow and you're moving forward. Well, it's kind of helpful if you know where you're going. But when you turn around and you're looking back, there's something that's capturing your attention back there that is taking your attention away for what you're doing. And the idea is your attention cannot be divided and accomplishing what you need to be doing perfectly. And when we start introducing other festivities into the worship and celebration of the birth of Christ, it's this. And we lose our way. Oh, but would you tell your little kids that they can't do that? No! I would tell them that we don't do that because we worship the Lord Jesus. That's all that there is to it. And should they be ashamed of that? I don't think so. If we are going to truly celebrate, I think our eyes need to be focused on what we're celebrating. Which brings me to the third point. If we are truly to celebrate Christmas, we need to determine how we are going to worship Christ. What are the things that we will use in our celebration? And may I say to you that all these things that I read here that we do can be used legitimately. For example, the tree. Every time I put the tree up, a verse of Scripture runs through my mind. Galatians. Anybody going there? Talks about a tree? Cursed. You know it. Is every man that hangeth on a tree. When I'm putting up that tree, every year I'm thinking, my Savior came to hang on one so that I could live. I have no problems with a tree in my living room. I have no problems with decorations around the house. And the beauty. Frankly, I got to give a little props to Leslie here. I can't wait every year for the Christmas season because the red and the green and the white, there is nothing that compares in my mind to the contrast of the colors and the beauty of the Christmas season. We are to worship God in the beauty of His holiness. And I think it's very appropriate that there be decorations. Now, neon signs, that might be a little bit past what's of good taste, but nonetheless. The sending of Christmas cards. What happened in the incarnation? And the Word of God was made flesh and dwelt among us. God, the Word of God came in a physical form. I have no problems whatsoever taking a Bible verse, and which is what Christmas is all about, and sharing that with a friend. Seems to me that's what we should be doing 365 days a year anyway, isn't it? Not just in Christmas. Knew you'd like that one. Then there's the eating. I was just doing some study this week for something a little bit different for Christmas, and I came across the meaning of the town of Bethlehem. Does anyone know what Bethlehem means? House of bread. Any Beth in Scripture in Hebrew is house of. Bethlehem literally is the house of bread. What's significant about that? Well, the bread of life came to the house of bread. I find that interesting. I find that the cookies and all the different things that go along, even the fruitcake, although I'm not a fan of fruitcake, can be used for the celebration of Christmas. Even the parties. Oh, we're going to the party tonight. This is really going to be boring. Well, some of them maybe might be. But generally speaking, when you're going to parties, especially with friends, it's a time of joy. And what happened with the shepherds? They saw the angel of the Lord and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they went to see what this thing was. And when they saw Christ, they came away praising and rejoicing for what they had seen. I think something of a festive celebration like that is in keeping with the idea of Christmas. And then there's the idea of gifts. Now thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. Isn't that what Christmas is all about? God gave us a gift. It was His Son. All those things that we customarily do, I think, can be, if used correctly, be used in the celebration of Christmas, if used correctly. But then that brings me to the fourth consideration tonight. We need to determine the appropriateness of our celebration. Not only what we're doing, but how we're doing it. Two things that I want to consider briefly, and then I'm going to be done. I had told the elders this morning that I was going to be done in 20 minutes. Went 35. So I'm going to make it up tonight. I'm going to be done in an hour. Two things that I want us to consider. First of all, time. Am I spending too much time celebrating His birth and not enough time living His life? Remember, the will of God in everyday things does not stop during the Christmas season. Sometimes we get so hung up on the celebration that we forget who we're celebrating. A little bit different venue, but the parallel is there. When I was in Bible college, when I first started going to Bible college, I was employed at the Acme supermarket. And I was a cashier there, and I was being scheduled for 30 to 35 hours a week. I was a full-time student. I was doing a pastoral internship at the church we were attending and trying to hold a family together, amongst other things. 30 to 35 hours was way too much for me to work. And I went to the boss, and I told him, because my wife was Well, let me tell it like it is, or was. She was nagging me. And rightly so. Off the hook on that one. You were strongly hinting. And rightly so. I don't remember if these were the exact words, but the essence of her concern was, she said, you came to Bible college with a family. It would be nice if you left with one. Because I was working so much, I didn't have enough time for the family. Well, I was a full-time student, and if I wasn't in class, I was doing papers out of class, and if I wasn't doing that, I was in the church doing my internship, and if I wasn't there, I was spending 30 to 35 hours a week working with four children, one in two in diapers. So I went to my boss and I said to my boss, you know, this is too much. I can't work this many hours. I really can't work more than 25 hours a week. And for a couple of weeks, he scheduled me right around 25 hours a week, and that was much, much, much better. Until the first of the month came around, and it was always busy the first of the month, the welfare checks came out, and consequently, he put me on 30, and I said, that's no problem. And the next week I was on for 32, and the next week I was back up to 35 hours a week. And I went to him the second time, and I said, hey, what happened to that 25? And, sorry about that. And he cut me back. And the same thing happened again. The first of the month rolled around. I was up to 38, 35 hours during that week. That week a chapel speaker came. And he spoke on backsliding. Tore me to shreds. Because in the middle of that chapel service, I realized that here I am preparing to serve God. And I've had no time to worship. My personal devotions had gone right out the window. Other than what I was reading for my theology classes or Bible classes, other than what I was doing in the church, I had no personal time. And I said to myself, how can you be training to serve God and have no time for Him? That night I went into work and I quit. Gave my 2 weeks' notice. I said, I'm out of here. Told them why, too. They thought I was nuts. Well, no one said amen. Thank you very much. But you know, sometimes we get so caught up in the celebration of Christmas that we forget what celebration is all about. Secondly, expenses. In all our hubbub, the decorations, the presents, and everything else, there's a price tag associated with it. Am I violating the will of God and financial principles in order to celebrate the coming of Christ? Fortunately, in the United States today, right around February, the beginning of February, there are more cases of depression than at any other time of the year. Two factors they have concluded that lead into that. Number one, weather. Because of the coldness, you're inside, you don't get out as much, the snow and all that kind of stuff. You have the very short days, it's not a lot of sunshine and so forth and things like that. That tends cabin fever, that type of thing. But the second thing is this, all the credit card bills that were accumulated in Christmas purchasing come due. People say, how can I pay this? More cases of depression, end of January, beginning of February, than any other time of the year. That's not right. That's not a godly celebration. Now, let me recap. Does God want you? Well, I don't see any reason that He doesn't, but if you decide that that's not for you to do, that's between you and God bless you for it. If you can do that in good conscience, wonderful. And if you can't, that's fine too. But if you're going to celebrate, let's make sure we celebrate Christ. Christ alone. to make sure we're doing what we're doing, that it fulfills that objective, and then in a manner that's pleasing God. And if we do those things, I think we really will celebrate Christmas. Let's pray. Father, in our worship, may we not just go through the motions, as many are wont to do, from Sunday to Sunday. But as we celebrate and remember, whether it was on December 25th or some other day of the year, that Jesus Christ came into this world, may we be moved by the love of God that would give us such an unspeakable gift. May our celebration of that be beautiful in your sight. May it just ring forth with glory, praise, and honor that's due your name. So that this Christmas and everyone that from henceforth, that which truly glorifies you. Maybe the world will see just a little bit of difference, or maybe a whole lot of difference, and ask why it is that we do what we do. Give us an opportunity to share the Savior. For the glory of God, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good week.